Good morning. It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. The numbers capture only part of the pain of the crime surge in Baltimore, but they are sobering. Twice as many shootings as this time last year. Homicides up by 50%. As the Baltimore Sun reports this morning, 171 people murdered in the city this year, 27 of them this month. Interim Police Commissioner Kevin Davis is asking the rank and file for suggestions about how to reorganize the department. We'd planned to discuss the spurting crime with Interim Commissioner Davis this morning. With everything else going on, he sent word he could not join us. I'm pleased to be here with Delegate Jill P. Carter, who represents North and West Baltimore District 41. She has served on the Judiciary Committee since she was elected to the House in 2002, and she's been outspoken on criminal justice issues. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You grew up in Baltimore.
Yes.
Went to Western High School, Loyola College, University of Baltimore Law School. In your view, did policing in the city used to work better than it is now?
It appeared so. I know that there was, first of all, I think that there was a belief that even in every community, in where I grew up in Ashburton certainly, that police officers were there to serve and protect. And while there may be some instances of disparate treatments and instances of brutality, that those were not the norm, that was not the culture of policing. But I believe that in many communities throughout the city, especially many of the Black communities, many of the more impoverished communities, that is the culture that has grown up over the last couple of decades.
And to what do you attribute it?
Well, everything is about leadership and policy. But from my vantage point as a legislator, I've really observed the almost omnipotent power of the police lobby, the police unions, and the police agencies. They have a tremendous amount of power over legislative leadership, almost as if they've been allowed to kind of dictate the policies, as opposed to legislators and political leaders taking control and governing what policies will be allowed to exist. I think that is a part of the problem, the tremendous power and the resistance to change and grapple with modern-day issues, issues in 2015, issues that gave rise to the problem that we had with the problems in the community that gave rise to the uprising in the wake of Freddie Gray.
What would you say is the biggest issue that you hear in the community about policing?
Well, the biggest issue is the lack of police and community relationship. And we hear it, and it almost begins to sound trite, but it is not. Even recently, with the new interim commissioner and the announcing of a war room, that is, once again, this policy that has failed for a number of years, this policy or belief process that we will somehow go after the bad guys without having a relationship with the community first in order to do that, in order to weed out the bad from the good. So I think that there's always an absence at the table of decision-making of the community, of leaders in the community that are able to better steer the direction of the police and able to form a relationship so that they can have a relationship with the community, so they can find out what's going on and be in a position sometimes to prevent crime.
I'd like to listen together to a brief part of the conversation that Interim Commissioner Davis had with Dan Rodericks on Midday a week ago, because it kind of gets to this point.
Pastor once told me that the community won't trust its police department until the community knows its police department respects them. So what we set about doing in Prince George's County is gaining the respect, or ensuring the community knows that we respect them, and then they trust us and give us information. The Crime Stoppers program in Baltimore is certainly an effective one, but we can do more with it. Most of the calls we get into Crime Stoppers have to do with the distribution and sale of narcotics, and that's important for us to know about, but we get very little information about violent crimes. Most of our murders in Baltimore City are daytime murders. 70% of our murders in the city happen outdoors. So we know we have witnesses, but we need to do more to encourage people to partner with us.
Do you, Delegate Carter, do you think he's on the right track in that thinking?
Well, it sounds good, and it's on the right track with the thinking, but the problem is so grave that it's going to take an all hands on deck approach, as they say, and that includes collaboration with the community. It includes collaboration with Black officers in the department that have spoken out also about discrimination within the department. And I think that the right idea is, you know, and I've said many times, you can't serve and protect those whom you don't respect. But even beyond that, because we have so many officers that are not familiar with the culture, the community here, that even if they don't fundamentally respect them, they need to be trained in such a way to treat them with respect. Do you know what I mean? So it comes from, the solutions are holistic. It's not one thing. It's not just foot patrols. It's not this, you have to change the philosophy top down, bottom up. And the holistic approach involves growing up young boys and girls into men and women that want to protect and serve and want to serve on the police department and the communities that they are reared. It involves training and changing the philosophy of training from an us against them idea to, you know, a form of community style protecting and serving. And then I think finally, when we talk about the fact that the philosophy is kind of upside down, that there's been a lot of money recently spent in riot gear and not money in put into community building community relations, and that's the reverse of what should happen. But I do think that the new commissioner, interim commissioner, sounds that he like he is fully engaged in fixing these problems, but he can't fix them alone, and he can't fix them with an old way of thinking about policing.
That's Baltimore City Delegate Jill P. Carter here on Maryland Morning 88.1. I'm Sheila Cass. Delegate Carter serves on the House Judiciary Committee and has been outspoken about policing issues. You mentioned growing, you wish Baltimore grew police commissioners, I'm sorry, police officers in the city. That I've heard statistics that that's something like 9 out of 10 officers commute into the city. Should the city require that city residents be should city residents be required of police officers? Is that something the city could do? And if it could, should it?
The city has resisted that idea under claims that it's unconstitutional to have a residency requirement, but I personally disagree with that. I believe that there's always a balancing test, and if you can show that there's a compelling need to have officers live in the city, and certainly I believe we could show that we could. And I think a residency requirement for the command staff as well as the rank and file, and there is a way to do that. You can't just start and say immediately today, if you don't live in the city, you're out. But, you know, over a certain number of years, anyone that wants to serve in the police department must acquire residency within Baltimore City, and that should be just a part of a requirement of the job.
Would that be something the city could require, or would that require state legislation?
I believe that the city is in the best position to make that happen. I think it could be somewhat of a hybrid, because the Baltimore Police Department is technically a state agency. And so to that extent, the state legislature has control, some governance control over them. But I do believe that it's a policy that the mayor and city council could implement and possibly go to the state legislature for, I guess, the solidifying of the policy. I believe that could happen.
We just passed the 2-year anniversary this past Saturday of the death of Tyrone West, who was 44 in 2013, a black man who died in a struggle while police were arresting him after a traffic stop. His family, Tyrone West's family, asked you to organize a presentation to the Department of Justice a week ago. What was the purpose of that?
Well, first, let me just give acknowledgement to the fact that before Freddie Gray, the Tyrone West family were really the leading force of protest in this city, most consistent after the brutal murder of Tyrone West. But the issue is that there are so many hundreds, if not thousands, of people that have stories of brutality, stories of mistreatment, stories about their loved ones being killed at the hands of law enforcement officers, that it was the thought of Tawanda Jones, who's Tyrone West's very outspoken sister, that they should be able to air these concerns in a public forum rather than just have everyone have individual private interviews with the Department of Justice, that this is such a huge issue that encompasses so many people and families that we should be coming together to give each other support.
Of course, the Department of Justice is investigating Baltimore's police department. There's also on a different track, a task force, a legislative task force that the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House set up after this past session of the legislature. It was announced shortly after the events following Freddie Gray's death. What do you expect to come of either of these efforts?
I expect very little substantive change or meaningful legislative reform. I believe that the task force was put together to sort of keep the status quo in place, but give the community something, some minor appeasement so that they can contend that we've done something to fix this problem. And I just want to point out that there was ample opportunity over the last several legislative sessions, but particularly last session, there were close to 20 bills on police accountability that the legislature categorically rejected. And these bills were sponsored by a number of different various legislators. I was a main legislator sponsoring most of the legislation, but many of them. And these pieces of legislation were categorically rejected. And many of the proponents of these bills are not made part of this task force. So I believe it is a total effort to keep the status quo, resist change, but sort of a CYA effort in the wake of Freddie Gray. And that's not to say nothing will come of it, but the level of reform is not likely to happen with this group. And let me just briefly...
We're out of time.
Okay.
Can you do it in 10 seconds?
Yes. The Legislative Black Caucus is forming its own work group to try to do a better job or assist, I suppose, this group.
Okay. We will keep in touch with you about that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Delegate Jill P. Carter represents North and West Baltimore and serves on the Judiciary Committee. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us after the news. Plays that make you think here on 88.1.